morning I want to start by telling a story about an American woman named Lois Prater. And I used to have a picture of her, and I couldn't find it this week, so you'll have to just make up some woman in your head and try to imagine her, right? But when Lois Prater was young, she felt like the Lord was wanted her to be a missionary. But for whatever reason, well, she kind of ignored God, and she didn't become a missionary. Instead, she got married and just kind of have a regular life in America. And then in 1988, her husband died. And at the time, she was 73 years old, right? But after her husband died, the Lord began to remind her that many, many years ago, he wanted her to be a missionary. So one day she was watching TV. It was about 6 months later. She was watching a Christian TV show program. And it was about these missionaries who were doing work actually in the Philippines. And the TV program said they wanted to take a group of 230 people to help this particular ministry in the Philippines. They were going to take the group, like a missionary tour, for 3 weeks. Well, Lois said, you know, I'm 73 years old and I don't know what I can do, but I can probably go on this missionary tour for 3 weeks. So she went to the Philippines. And it was an excellent experience for her. So good, in fact, that the next year, she returned to the Philippines. This time, it was just with 11 women. And that was such a good experience for her that in 1990, she went to the Philippines again. This time, she went by herself, and she stayed for a whole year. And it was during that time in the Philippines, her year in the Philippines, that the Lord began to lay on her heart just a desire, a vision, to build an orphanage. So she went back to America, she prepared for a year, she sold everything she had, including her home, and at the age of 76, friends, 76 years old, she left again for the Philippines. And after 3 years of hard work and lots of prayer and the help of a lot of local churches, she was actually able to build an orphanage that had 16 bedrooms, which sleeps lots of kids, right? A large kitchen and a school for the students to attend. And the last I heard about her was in 2003. I think at that time she was, 89 years old, and she was still in the Philippines. But she was thinking about maybe retiring and going back to the States. And someone asked her after it was nearing the end of her time there in the Philippines, they asked her if she had any regrets. She said her only regret is that she didn't start doing this many years earlier. Isn't that a wonderful story? I mean, at an age when most people, myself included, probably would have decided just to take it easy with their lives, Lois realized that God still had plans for her. And so rather than spend the rest of her days just watching TV or playing gate ball or whatever 73-year-old women do, right? She wanted to move forward with God. She wanted to accomplish all that God had planned for her. And friends, I believe God has plans for all of us. Right? I think he wants to use all of us to make an impact for the kingdom of God. And even if we don't have a sense of what that might be, he still can and he still wants to use us to fulfill the plans he has for us. But friends, here's the deal, and this is what we're going to talk about today. That doesn't happen automatically. Just because we're going through our lives and we're just kind of, you know, going through doing the things we do, that doesn't mean that we're automatically fulfilling God's plan for us. See, it only happens if and when we are willing to leave what's safe and comfortable, and we're willing to move forward with God. See, that's what Lois Prater did when she was 73. But that's what she did. And so, friends, today we want to take a look at a story in the Bible of some people who had to make a choice. Either they could remain where everything was familiar and comfortable, or they could move forward with God and accomplish the plans that God had for their lives. And as we read the story, I think it'll be really clear to all of us how this story applies to our current situation here at SIBC. So today, we're going to talk about Joshua and the people of Israel. And we're going to be reading from Joshua chapter 1 as Joshua gets ready to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. But before we actually read from Joshua chapter 1, I need to give you the story behind the story. I need to give you a little bit of history about Israel. We need to understand what happened to the people of Israel before, right, the events of Joshua chapter 1. So let me give you a quick review. It starts about 500 years. You're thinking, how quick is this going to be if I'm going back 500 years, right? But it starts about 500 years before the time of Joshua. And God made a number of promises to a man named Abraham, right? You've heard of Abraham. And one of the promises was about a piece of land that God said he would give to Abraham and all of his descendants. And basically, the land is, well, here's present-day Israel, right? And basically, the land that God said he was going to give is, it's that part, right? And because this is the land that God had promised, the Bible often calls this the what? The promised land, right? Really creative, but we call it the promised land because that's the land God promised to give to Abraham and his descendants. However, God didn't give them the land right away. In fact, through a series of events, the people of Israel actually ended up in Egypt as slaves. And for 400 years, they worked as slaves for the king of Egypt, and they weren't even close to living in the promised land. Well, when the Israelites' condition became so bad in Egypt, they cried out to God to help them. And God did. And God raised up a man named Moses. And Moses helped to deliver the people out of slavery in Egypt. And some Bible scholars say that there may have been over 1 million Israelites at the time. 1 million people just suddenly leaving Egypt. Right? And as God brought them out of Egypt, we read scripture and it says that God's original plan was to bring them straight to the promised land. They were going to go to the land that God had promised to them. However, as you read the book of Exodus, you see that the people of Israel, they often complained about their new situation. Right? Not only that, but they lacked faith in God. They were sometimes even disobedient to God. And for that reason, friends, God didn't allow them to enter the promised land. Instead, for 40 years, they wandered around on the east side of the Jordan here. They just kind of wandered there for 40 years. Just wandering, waiting, waiting, and wandering. And basically, God was waiting for that whole generation of people to die. Moses' generation. He was waiting for them to die. And then in the very last chapter of Deuteronomy, which is the book right before Joshua, we read that Moses died. And when he died, he was the last of that older generation who was not allowed to enter the promised land. And so when the story opens now in Joshua chapter 1, right, the Moses' generation, the older generation, has passed away. The new generation, Joshua's generation, is all grown up now. And Joshua becomes the leader of the people of Israel. And now they're all camping there on the east side of the Jordan. They can actually look across the river and they can see the land that God has promised to give to them. So that's the history leading up to Joshua chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to quickly read from Joshua chapter 1. We're actually going to read verses 1 through 6. And it says this. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, and all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then verse 6, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Okay, so here we see that God says to Joshua, it's time. It's time, right? In verse 2, right? He says, you and these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River. Right, God was about ready to lead his people finally into the promised land. And friends, you have to see that this was a huge day for the history of Israel. After 500 years of waiting and after 40 years of wandering in the desert, God's promise to them was going to be fulfilled. God was finally going to lead them into the promised land. Now friends, at this point, the Israelites, the people of Israel, they had a choice to make. They had to choose whether or not they were going to move forward with God. Now you might think, well, that's an easy choice for them to make. But friends, I don't think it was. You see, because moving forward with God is not always easy. It's always good, but it's not always easy. Sometimes the easiest way in life is just to stay in our current situation where everything is familiar and everything is comfortable. We just kind of know what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day and the next day. That's the easy way. Moving forward with God is rarely easy. And I don't think it was an easy choice for the people of Israel to make, for Joshua and his generation to make, as they stood there looking across the Jordan into the Promised Land. And so we're going to talk about that today. And today we're going to talk about moving forward with God. And as we share this morning, I want to share with you three things that I think are involved with moving forward with God. And I think personally we would prefer to just ignore these three things today. And yet if we want to follow God, if we want to fulfill the plans He has for us, I think we need to learn to embrace these three things. So if you have your yellow outlines, you can start to fill in and take notes there on your yellow paper. But let's start with this one first. Moving forward with God involves obedience. If we want to move forward with God, we need to obey. Right? We see in verse 2 that God told Joshua to get ready to cross the Jordan River. In fact, as you read through the entire book of Joshua, you see many, many times in the next few years, God is going to tell Joshua and the people of Israel what to do. And the success of whether or not they successfully occupy the Promised Land was determined by whether or not they were willing to obey. See, Moses' generation, right, the generation before, they didn't always obey God, did they? If you know the story, there was times when they wanted to do their own thing instead of follow God, do what God asked them to do. There were times when they thought that their ways were better than God's ways. And their lack of obedience, it's this very point, their lack of obedience was very costly to them. Right? God had every intention of leading that generation into the Promised Land, but because they were not willing to obey, they never achieved what God wanted them to. And God had to wait for another generation to come along who would be obedient. And so, friends, if we want to follow after God, we have to decide right now in our hearts that God's plan has priority over our plans. What God wants to do is more important than what we want to do. Right? And that's true for us as a church family. It's also true in our individual lives, isn't it? Right? When you're deciding whether or not to take a new job, when you're trying to decide whether or not to move to a different city, but when you're trying to decide whether or not to marry that person you've been dating for a long, long time, there are many things to consider, but the greatest thing to consider is this, right? What is God's heart for you? Is this part of God's plan for your life? You see, friends, that's the kind of questions that we want to ask, that we need to ask as we move forward with God. Because it's possible to move forward in life without God, right? Right? We can make decisions and make choices in life that are completely against God's will. And if that's the case, it might seem like we're moving forward in life, and we are, but we're moving forward in a direction that is not God's plan. You see, if we want to move forward with God, we need to seek His will, and we need to obey Him. So moving forward with God, fulfilling His plan, involves obedience. And I know we don't like to hear that, but sometimes that's the truth. But there's a second thing that we need if we want to move forward with God. Moving forward with God also involves change. Now, for the most part, people don't like change, right? Sure, we're willing to change our TV if it means we get a bigger one. We'll change our car if we get a new car. You know, we're willing to, you know, sacrifice and make those kinds of changes. But for the most part, we don't like things to change too much. Already the world around us seems like it's changing faster than we want it to. Sometimes we just want things to stay just the way they are. And once you get to be my age, you begin to wish things would go back to the way they used to be, right? You remember the good old days, right? See, but we like things that are comfortable and secure and familiar. And change has a way of just kind of messing those things up, right? And so sometimes we don't like change. But friends, for Joshua and the people of Israel, God was asking them to make a major, major change in their lives. Consider this for a moment. Joshua and his whole generation, friends, they grew up living in the desert. That's all they ever knew was living out in the desert. Right? They grew up living in tents. Right? They had tents, and whenever God told them to go somewhere, they would just pack up their tent and they would move. So they lived in tents. And they spent their whole lives raising animals. Right? And that was their life. Living in the desert, living in tents, raising animals. Whenever mom and dad said, okay, we gotta go, they would pack up and they would go. And they were constantly moving here and there and here and there. But friends, now God was preparing to lead them into the promised land. And suddenly, instead of living in the desert, they were gonna have to live in cities. And that might not sound like a big deal to us, but they had never done that before. On top of that, right, instead of living in tents, they were going to have to learn how to build houses. And instead of raising animals, they were going to have to start raising crops. Again, friends, they had never done these things before. Friends, God was asking Joshua and his generation to completely change the way they live. And in order to fulfill the plans that God had for them, they were going to have to learn a new way of life. And I'm sure for some of these Israelites, that this was kind of scary. To think about all the change, it was like, I don't know if I want to go to the promised land. Maybe the desert here isn't so bad. Friends, do you remember what Moses' generation had done? Right, here they were slaves in Egypt. It was a terrible situation for them, right? It was this terrible situation as they're living as slaves. They were oppressed and they were abused. And so God delivered them out of Israel. And then once they get out of, He delivered them out of Egypt. And after they got out of Egypt, how did they react? They began to complain, right? They complained about the desert. They complained about the food. They complained about the water. And at one point, they even asked Moses to bring them back to Egypt. It was terrible in Egypt. Life was miserable in Egypt. But it was comfortable because it was familiar to them. They so didn't want change that they were willing to go back to a terrible life. You see, friends, but that's the deal here, is they resisted change. And because they resisted change, they were not able to fulfill the plans that God had for them. Friends, change is necessary if we want to go forward with God. God is a God of change. God is always on the move. He's always doing something new in our lives, right? He's doing something that'll bring growth, that'll help us to mature, but He's always changing. And really, the whole Christian life is about change, right? When we become a Christian, the Bible says that we become a new creation. That's change. We go from kingdom of darkness to kingdom of light. Right? And even after we become Christians, we spend our whole Christian lives then what? Changing, right? We're learning and we're growing and we're moving forward in our faith. Friends, there is no standing still in the Christian life. And once we start to resist change, once we start to say, I want things just to stay the way they are, that's when we begin to miss the plans that God has for us. So I know that change is not easy. But if we want to move forward with God, we need to embrace change. It was true for Joshua and his generation, and it's true for us. It's moving forward with God always involves change. All right? How you doing, Yuko? Okay? Still smiling. Finally, moving forward with God also involves faith. Friends, as we desire to be obedient, number one, and as we desire to embrace the change that God brings our way, friends, it's really, really helpful to have faith. And the more faith, the more helpful it is. I think faith is important for two reasons. Let me quickly share these. Friends, first, there are times when God will lead us in a direction that we cannot understand, right? He will lead us to do something, and we won't know why. Like, God, what are you doing? Right? You see, friends, God's ways don't always make sense according to our human thinking and our human understanding. And at times like that, we need to have faith that God is working and acting according to His perfect plan for our lives. And when we have faith, although we can't understand what God is doing, faith allows us to obey anyway. Does that make sense? We actually see a really good example of this in Joshua chapter 5. after crossing the Jordan River. Here's our map, right? After crossing the Jordan River, they come down to this town of Jericho down here. And God tells them that God wants them to take the city, capture the city. But there's a problem. The city's got these huge walls. So God has a plan. What's God's plan? God says, get all the people, and once every day for 6 days, he wants them just to walk around the city. Just get all the people and just kind of go for a little walk around the city. Do that every day for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, walk around the city 7 times. And after you do it 7 times, blow your trumpets and everyone shout, ah! And God says, if you do that, the walls will fall down. You're right, God. Is that the silliest thing you've ever heard? If God told you to do that, would you do it? Well, see, they did it. Because they had faith. Do you think it made sense to them? Do you think as they were thinking, that's not a very good battle strategy, God. You know, it didn't make sense to them, and yet in faith, they did it. In faith, they obeyed, and because they obeyed, you know what happened? The walls came crashing down. And they were able to capture the city. You see, friends, that's why faith is so important. Faith helps us to obey when we don't clearly understand what God is asking us to do. But second, faith is important because faith gives us stability in the midst of change. You know, sometimes we think that if we can just prevent change from happening in our lives, then our lives will be comfortable, there'll be security, there'll be peace, right? Peace of heart, peace of mind, we can just... It gives that feeling, we think, if we can prevent change. But friends, as we've just saw, we can't stop change. God is a God of change. And as Christians, we should welcome and embrace the change He wants to bring. And so how do we find comfort and security and peace of heart? Do we find it in our jobs? No. Do we find it in our family? Well, it sounds good, but no. Do we find it at church? No. It's the only place we find true peace in our hearts, true comfort, true security is in God. It's kind of ironic that although God is a God of change, God Himself never changes. Right? I mean, God is the only thing in this world that's perfectly constant. Friends, and for that reason, we can and we should put our faith and trust in Him alone. We look to Him for comfort. We look to Him for security. We look to Him for peace, even in times of change. And so, friends, as we are moving forward with God, that involves faith, lots of faith. Faith helps us to be obedient. Faith helps us to embrace the change that God wants to bring. And so as we move forward, as we desire to move forward with God and the plans He has for us, these are the three things we want to do. We want to walk in obedience. We want to embrace change. We want to live by faith. So, why do I share these things with you today? Well, friends, obviously these three things apply to our personal lives, right? As we, each of us, desires to move forward with God, these are the three things I think we need to embrace and walk in. But friends, as a church, these things are really important to us right now. Because as you know, God is moving us forward, isn't He? God is doing something here at SIBC. Right? God is now in the process of leading us in a new and different direction. 2 weeks from today, we're not going to be in this building. And we'll no longer have a stage. There'll no longer be sound system. Right? There's not going to be a worship band. Not that there was a worship band today, but there won't be a worship band, right, in the future. Right? There is no projector and no chairs lined up in rows. None of that. For whatever reason, God is leading us to gather in a home. And actually, as I look back, it seems to me that maybe this has been God's plan for many years, and we just didn't quite notice it until just a few months ago. But friends, clearly, God is moving us forward. And so as we look ahead to meeting at Noji's home in Izumi Otsu, it's exciting, but things will be different. And I am excited about this. You know, we spent 9 months, right, rethinking church. We were studying the Bible and rethinking church. And during that time, I think God really began to show us a better way of being the body of Christ, of being the church. And so for me, I'm excited to begin to explore that as we go to Izumi Otsu. But at other times, thinking ahead, I get a little scared. Right? God's leading us into something that, to be honest, I have no experience with. Right? It's something new for me. And the question is, are we ready to follow? And friends, in this way, we're kind of like the people of Israel. We're kind of like Joshua's generation. Right? They had to learn a whole new way of doing life as they entered the promised land. And I believe that God wants us to learn a whole new way of doing church as we now make this transition to Izumiotsu. I think the kind of church God wants us to be is different maybe than what most of us have ever known. And friends, for that reason, as we choose to move forward with God, we want to move forward with obedience and change and faith. Now, the good thing is, friends, is we have already taken a very big step of obedience, haven't we? Right back in June when we took our vote, and it was 16 people voted that yes, we feel like the Lord is leading us to go to Izumiotsu. Friends, I think God was very happy when we said yes to moving in that direction. See, because some of us don't understand why God was leading us to that place. Right? And some of us maybe don't even want to go to that place. We don't want to go to Izumiotsu. We don't want to do this. And yet the fact that we were willing to say yes, I think it shows that we are willing to obey God. Friends, and that's a very good thing. I think that is a sign of maturity. And that's why I'm excited about us as we get ready to go. I think we have a lot of growth to do. We all do. But I think there's a sense of maturity right now where we're ready for this. It's like the Joshua generation, they grew up. And they were now ready to walk in the plans God had for them. And so I think God is pleased with our obedience. And yet, friends, this was only the first step, right? In the weeks and months to come, we want to continue to look to Jesus and listen to Jesus and follow Jesus, right? Jesus is our head. The Holy Spirit is our guide. The Bible is our map. And so we want to continue to obey. We want to continue to make choices that reflect God's heart for the church and not our own. So as we move forward, we want to obey. Well, as for change, well, I think this next season, it will be, well, there will be change. There will be things that are different, that are new, that are unfamiliar. Along the way, we're going to kind of like not know what we're doing, and we're going to make mistakes, and it'll be a time for us to get used to meeting differently. And at times, we might even begin to miss the old way of doing church, right? Well, like the people of like Moses' generation, they wanted to go back to Egypt. You know, we're going to miss maybe the style of worship. We're going to miss having PowerPoint during the message. We might miss some of these things, friends. And yet, as God brings change to SIBC, I think He's doing this for our good. Right? He's doing this because He wants us to grow, because He wants us to mature. And for that reason, we need to embrace change instead of resisting it and say, oh, I like the way it was before. We want to embrace the change because, friends, one of the most effective ways for us to grow is to step out of our comfort zone and begin to allow God to lead us in new experiences, right? We grow through change. And so even though change is never easy, during this next season, we want to embrace change because as we do that, we will grow. And then, of course, this means that we also have to have faith. We need to put our faith in God, even when we don't understand what He is doing at times. So, friends, God is moving us forward at SIBC. I think He's moving us forward so that we can fulfill His plans, His purposes for SIBC. And right now, our response right now is very important. If we respond like Joshua and his generation, I believe this next season of SIBC will be a season of much fruit. It'll be a season of much growth. But if we respond like Moses and his generation, if we decide to do things our way instead of doing them God's way, if we resist change, if we refuse to put our faith in God, then we might miss what God has planned for us. We might get to Izumiotsu. We might just spend the next however many years just kind of wandering around until God could raise up a new generation of people who will actually obey Him and follow Him. Friends, this is a very important time in the history of SIBC. I don't mean to be melodramatic when I say that, but I think it's true. I think God has something good planned for us in Izumiotsu. And whatever it is, I don't want to miss it. I want to move forward with God. So friends, this summer, let's tell the Lord that we want to follow Him through obedience, through change, through faith. We want to fulfill the plan God has for us. Amen? Can I get a big amen?
Amen.
Like you really mean it, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let me go ahead and pray. Jesus, we do thank You that You are our head, that You are our shepherd, that You are the one who wants to lead us and guide us and be our teacher. And gosh, that gives us an awful lot of comfort and security knowing that we don't have to figure out the way to go. We can just follow You. But Jesus, we know that following You often means change. It often means that we have to obey what You ask us to do. It means that we sometimes need to walk in faith. But Jesus, this morning, we're ready to do that. We're willing to do that. Because we want to fulfill the plans You have for us. We want to walk in the purposes that You have for us as a church family. So Jesus, right here, right now, today, we say to You, we want to follow You. We want to move forward with You. So Jesus, we ask that You would help us to obey. Help us to embrace the change that You bring our way. And help us to live lives of faith. We thank You. We pray this now. In Jesus' name.